We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Steve Coleman. Steve is the Executive Director for the Independent Business Association of Wisconsin, otherwise known as IBAW. He's a supervisor for the Town of Brookfield and Tax Assessment Board of Review for the Town of Brookfield. He's also the board member of the Community Development Authority, overseeing over $200 million in the Corners Project in Waukesha County. Previously, he was the sales and marketing guy for Heritage Printing in Brookfield. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lori. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
I'm very excited to have you. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about what IBAW is?
Sure. The IBAW is a business group, not really a chamber of commerce, but it's a kind of a boutique business group that has about 140 members in it, and we cover really three areas. One is business programming. The second would be executive peer-to-peer networking, very much like a tech group, if you're familiar with that. And then the third is political advocacy for small business in Madison and Washington, D.C. So IBA was formed back in the early 70s by a group of manufacturers, and they really kind of felt that they weren't getting good representation in Madison and Washington, D.C., and they wanted to form up their own group. So back then, it was really a lobbying group, and we've moved a little bit away from that and more of a business education, personal growth for executives type of status.
Oh, fantastic. So what keeps you inspired and going?
So it's a couple things. You know, my parents came from Europe in 52, and they really came with nothing after the war. And so we really kind of go with mom and dad's always trying to crack the whip and keep us going. And that's the big inspiration on my end. They gave us a good work ethic, and we carried that on with our family. So
fantastic. So how do you know that what you're doing is going in the right direction?
Yeah, so I've been an executive director for the IBAW for about 3 years, and it was really kind of a new role for me. As you said in my bio, I was a sales and marketing guy for a printing company, and this position was really kind of a new thing for me. So I call them aha moments, and you probably have these too, where all of a sudden something happens, and you're like, dope, wow, yeah, that's validation for what I'm doing. So that is, and you never know where they're coming from. You know, for instance, I was in Washington, D.C. at an event, and Senator Ron Johnson was there, and I had met him a couple times. And he came up to me and goes, "Hey, Steve, how's it going?" I didn't have my name tag on, and that was like, whoa, you were getting noticed, you know? So that was a big aha moment. And they don't have to be all that big, but every once in a while you get something where it's like it tings out, and it's like, yeah, we're moving in the right direction.
So you've been you were at sales and marketing in that role at Heritage Printing for quite some time. Why the shift to the executive director for IBAW?
Well, you know, I'd been in the printing business since I was 16, and that's a long time. I'm 53 now, so you can do the math. So about 35 years.
Wow.
And so I was really in it during the heyday of it in the 80s and 90s. And that business is starting to retract a little bit, I feel, you know, with the age of the internet and PDFs, and printing isn't as powerful as punch as it used to be. I think people in the printing industry will probably challenge me on that, but it was really time for something different. And I had been in the IBA for about 12 years as a member and enjoyed it, got on some committees and got on the board, and really enjoyed the networking with executives and other people in the room, and it was kind of a natural fit. So that's how I got into that. Really enjoy it. So
fantastic! I'm sure your sales and marketing background is definitely helpful in that role.
Sales and marketing background helps no matter what you're doing, yes. Right? You're in that business.
Absolutely.
And, you know, whether you're selling to your kids or trying to get, you know, your family to do something or somebody else down the road, sales and marketing is always a good background.
Well, this is a good transition into my next question here. Can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
You know, there's a lot of good networking stories, but I had one this last week, and it was also kind of a validation aha moment.
Okay.
So I met this guy at a MMAC, Milwaukee Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce meeting. His name was Paul Truss, and Paul had just started his own business. It was a consulting business, and his background was really in the motorsports area, and he had decided that he was going to sell his package, if you will, to business executives and kind of use a motorsports theme. And so he and I kind of hit it off and we're talking because I'm a big motorsports fan. And I invited him to an IBA meeting and he came to that and we kind of hit it off. And we do these things at IBA called business behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And so you get a tour of something that you normally wouldn't get a tour of. And we were doing one at Lakeview Technical Academy in Kenosha, which is a high school that is based in a 40,000 square foot manufacturing plant, former manufacturing mm-hmm. plant. And I invited Paul to that, and Paul came to it. And it just so happens that someone from Senator Johnson's office was there, a guy by the name of Orlando Owens. And Paul and him kind of hit it off. And we left the event, and Paul and Orlando were still talking in the parking lot when we left. And it was raining, and they didn't seem to care. They were still networking.
Sure.
Okay, so hold that thought now. We're going to flash forward about 2 years. So IBA is involved with the Joseph Project, mm-hmm. which if you don't know, for those of you who don't know, it helps inner city adults kind of get into a program where they are enrolled in a curriculum and then they go out and are positioned with jobs. So people wanting jobs are paired up with people who find jobs, mm-hmm. want to offer jobs, I should say. So we were called there to kind of do mock interviews for these people. And there was Paul, mm-hmm. and he was doing some training for these people, kind of getting them pumped up and giving them a curriculum that he had kind of developed. And I said to Paul, I said, you know, how did you get here? And he goes, I'm here because of you, because of his connection with Orlando. So that's a long story, but it's a good story.
It is a good story and very heartwarming.
I mean, yeah, and it was, again, it was one of those aha moments. Yeah. Oh, you know, kind of what we're doing makes sense. And, you know, we're connecting people and getting some action done.
Some validation.
Yes,
very much so. Aha moments are validation on what you're doing.
Yep.
That's definitely a great story. A successful one indeed. So as you build your network, you know, large or small, what do you do to stay in front of or best nurture it?
Well, you got to get out and meet people, right? It's all about networking. Network is the networking. So you got to get out and, you know, go to different events at different times of the day. And I know it can be a real drag sometimes shaking your butt out of bed early and going downtown and trying to find a parking space in the middle of winter when the snow's coming down, or going out later at night and getting to a networking event because you never know who you're going to bump into.
Yeah.
So like my event with Paul, you know, it just kind of developed really well that we were both there and everything clicked. And so you never know, you know, who you're going to bump into. So you got to get out and you got to do those events.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very, very sound advice for sure. Is just continue to get out there.
Yeah, you know, I think as business people, we kind of look at it and go, man, I got so much to do. I can't get out, you know. But I always tell people, look, you know, you got to get out of that business bunker, you know, mm-hmm. and you got to go out and meet people. And you know, there's a world out there other than your business. Go experience it.
There is. And I've actually seen that when I'm strong on the networking scene, it does correlate to my sales activities and the opportunities that are knocking on my door. And when I slow down because we're too busy, you know, then that dip in the sales does occur. So I've been able to directly correlate my networking activities with the sales of the business.
Yeah, the likelihood of you actually meeting people in your, you know, in your office with your door closed, those are pretty remote odds.
Slim to none.
Yep.
All right. So what advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Well, you got to get out, right? I mean, totally, you got to get out and meet people. Yeah. The other thing I think is important, too, is you got to, and you know this, you have to kind of create a brand, you know? So other than, I think, separate from your business, so people see you as a thought leader. So, you know, writing blogs, writing articles in magazines or newspapers, business publications, I think is paramount. You got to get out there and do that stuff. And that too is a big pain in the rump because, you know, who wants to sit down and write, you know, 1,000 words, you know, essentially a theme. You had enough of those in school, but, you know, the IBA publishes a monthly digital magazine, and I've had to write a column for the last 2.5 years. And sometimes it can be a real challenge, you know, but it really forces you out of your comfort spot and to write something and get noticed out there. So developing your brand, your own personal brand, I think is huge. And that brand has got to be separate from your business.
I absolutely agree with that. 2 points that I wanted to comment on that you said. One is that you've been writing an article for the last 2.5 years on a consistent monthly basis. And I think that's important. It's not just, I'm going to write one article and then, you know, maybe over the course of 2.5 years, people are going to read it. It's being consistent.
I have no choice. I'm the publisher of the magazine. So,
Well, people are expecting it then.
Yep,
so
they
you've built this level of expectation.
And they're not all hits. You know, some of them are duds and some of them are really good. Yeah. So, but getting them published, I think, is it helps you articulate, you know, who you are. And again, establishes your brand.
Well, and to that second point that I had was about your personal brand. And it was something that personally, I was fighting for a long time because I was so focused on, I want everyone to know who Keystone Click is, you know?
Yeah.
And like, why is everyone saying go to Lori? I want the Keystone Click brand to build. And then I, aha moment of some level, like, why am I fighting this? I need to be embracing and leveraging that, you know, people know me and are sending me opportunities. So so that's when I decided to start doing a deep dive into who I am and what my purpose is, what I'm here to do. And that's where really Social Capital came from.
You know, like now you're doing your podcast and you've got, you know, what, 10 or 15 of these under your belt, or pretty close to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2 years ago, if I would have told you, hey, you know, doing a podcast would be really a good idea, you'd be like, oh, man, I don't want to do that, right?
No, I'm loving it. This is so much fun. I just love the conversations that I get to have with, with, you know, professionals all over the place. And it's just so such intriguing stories that, you know, they're just showing up. Fantastic. So, you know, we've talked a lot about getting out there and meeting people, but before we started this conversation, we were talking a little bit about Twitter. So my question here is, digital networking or traditional networking?
Yeah, it's got to be a blend of both, right? I mean, you just can't put all your eggs in one basket. Will Rogers once said, you know, put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket. But, you know, that just doesn't work, you know? So the face-to-face stuff, you got to put a name with a face. And, or I should say a voice with a face or a tweet with a face. You know, it's nothing is the end all be all, right? Because you never know where any of this is coming from or where any of it's going. So you got to stay on top of Twitter, your LinkedIn accounts, Facebook. You know, people, especially with websites, you see this all the time because you're in this business. You know, you got to stay on top of your blog and keep your website fresh. So it's all of that that you got to do. But you still got to go out and do the face-to-face. And I would encourage people not only do like networking events, but get off your butt and call some of your contacts and go out and have a coffee with them or go and do lunch. You know, getting that relationship built is key. And they're just going to introduce you to more people anyway, right?
I mean, because
you've done this. We had a great conversation at that Brugger's Bakery on 84th and Blue Mound. Remember that? We were talking about stuff, and you never know what comes flushing out of those conversations, right? So things you have in common with people, and just get some synergy going with your audience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it definitely is good to just kind of get out there and see someone in person.
Yeah.
But I agree.
Learn more about who they are and what they're doing. Yeah. And, you know, you never know what's going to shake out of those conversations.
Well, it doesn't have to be all about professional discussions.
No.
I mean, you can easily go off on tangents around, you know, whatever, your dogs or your kids or sports or who knows what, but just finding that common ground, which builds that relationship in the long run.
Exactly.
All right, so here's a fun question. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Man, that's a tough question. You know, I think I would have started networking a lot sooner. When I'd never heard of IBA before, so when I was in printing, my boss said, you should hook up with this networking group. Go to it and check it out. So I went to it, and everybody in the room was like way smarter than me, which isn't really hard to do, you know. Yeah, but they were like business owners, like, you know, captains of industry type of people. And I thought, man, I've got no business being here. You know, these people are way on a different level than I am. And but I liked the conversations that we were having. I liked the programming that was going on. And so I went back to my work, and my boss said, how was it? I said, you know, really, this is, you know, this is a different class of people than me. I don't belong here. He goes, no, keep going, keep going. So I went because I liked the program that was going on. And, you know, here we are some 12 years later, I'm head of the organization. You know, so I think going, if I would say to myself, you know, 20 years ago, start networking with people that you think might be out of reach, you know, or at least reach out to them, because, you know, it's kind of amazing, because like when I was in sales, I could never get a hold of these people on the phone, right? Because they think I was selling them something. But now when I call them, you know, they could be a CEO of a large company and say, hey, you know, we want you to come to IBA. They like pick up the phone immediately, you know, because they want to be telling their story. Sure. So you got to get out there and, you know, start networking with people early in on your career.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a fan of that. Great advice for sure. All right, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the sixth degree?
So the one person I would really like to, you know, there's, you've seen this question before in a couple of different forms. Who would you like to have lunch with or breakfast with or coffee? Yeah. I'd like to have lunch or breakfast or anything with George W. Bush, former President Bush. So if anyone's out there listening and can connect me, I really don't know how I would. I mean, this seems like one of those insurmountable type of things that you could get to. But I don't know how I could possibly arrange this or get this done. I did meet his father, though, at St. John's Military Academy. So he was there for a luncheon. So
You've got some political connections, so I'm sure that's where you'd start.
Yeah, that's a pretty big connection, though. I mean, I don't know how we would pull that off. So if anybody out there knows of anybody that can get me hooked up.
Well, there's a will, there's a way, right?
Yeah, we'll see how good your podcasting works here.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. There's a lot of interesting people that I've been interviewing. So,
hey, if you don't ask, right?
Absolutely. I'm all about the ask. So that being said, I will ask you this next question about what book are you reading right now?
I got to admit, I'm not a big reader. You know, I was early on in my career, but time-wise, I just don't have the inclination or drive to do it. And you're supposed to do it, right? Because it's so important. But I have found a couple of good books. And I used to be this really big reader. But right now, I'm reading a book called The Right Kind of Crazy. Okay. And it's by Adam, I'm going to blow his last name here. It's Stelzner. And he is head of the Mars Lunar Rover Program.
Oh, cool.
And it's a really cool story because before he was this quote-unquote rocket scientist, he was a dude. You know, he was a dude in a band. And but he was a smart guy, and he was going to a gig one night at 1 o'clock in the morning. Or I'm sure to say he was going to a gig at like 11 o'clock at night, and he noticed a star in the sky. And he thought, oh, wow, there's a star in the sky, right? So he really didn't think too much of it. He went to his gig, did his gig, and then when he was driving back at like 2:30 in the morning, the star was in a different spot in the sky. And he's like, that was his kind of aha moment. He's like, wow, this is really cool. You know, how does this work? So he wound up going to a community college, and he did some physics classes, and he liked it. And he got roped up into some mathematics classes, and he liked it further. And then he applied for a job as kind of an intern at JPL, Jet Propulsion Labs, and he got on that, and it just kind of kept escalating.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really cool story. I'm kind of fascinated with, you know, astronomy and stuff like that. I can't believe we're driving, you know, this big thing around on Mars that's the size of a car. Yeah. You know, I kind of think about that. So I'm reading that. The newest book I just picked up was recommended by one of my members. It's called Never Split the Difference, and it's by a former FBI agent called Chris Voss. And the subtitle of it is Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It. So he talks about business negotiations. And so I should back up. He was a former hostage negotiator. And so he talks about that, and I just started it, so I'm like on page, you know, 25. So don't ask me too much about
it. It sounds interesting.
And of course, my favorite book of all time that I reread all the time is Jim Collins' book, Good to Great.
Yeah.
So
that's a great
go
one.
Back to all those three.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. All right. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, as a marketing guy, and you are, you know, you're a marketing gal, it's all marketing. So you got to get out there. I would really encourage people listening to develop your personal brand.
Yep.
I mean, that is just so huge. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to touch on too is go out and get a good photo of yourself. Don't take selfies. You know, go out to a professional photographer, spend a couple $100. Get a really good picture of yourself that you can use, and you know, just go out there and do the things you're supposed to be doing, right? Especially if you're in sales or trying to cultivate new sales. Got to get out there. You got to write. You got to be visible. Leverage technology to your advantage, you know, things with blogs and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, and keep it professional. You know, don't go off too far in the weeds. But that would be the advice that I've got.
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic. Very sound advice here. You know, developing your personal brand. And I think that's more important today than it's ever been because of technology. And I couldn't agree more with you with regards to getting a good photograph of yourself. I think that's so important because that is your brand. It's the first impression that you're making is, I know more times than not, if I'm meeting someone and I haven't actually seen them in person, but I'm meeting them at like a coffee shop, I go on LinkedIn to see what they look like. So I know that I'm introducing myself to the right person.
It doesn't look good when you have bedhead, right? So, yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. Get out there, be visible, writing, speaking, just showing up. I mean, those are all very, very important pieces of advice that I hope all of our listeners will take to heart. Fantastic. So if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Probably through the IBAW website, which is ibaw.com.
All right.
Well, I'm all over it, so I'm not hard to find.
That's easy enough. We'll definitely include that in the show notes. Thanks so much for being on the show, Steve. Fun conversation today.
Thanks for having me. I love your new offices. If you guys haven't checked out Lori's offices, you should come and check it out.
Yeah. The doors are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Nice little plug for you, Lori.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Steve Coleman for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.